Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney the Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, we are in a dog fight here in Benton Harbor, Michigan. We're just not fighting against Whirlpool Corporation, but we're fighting against these people who call themselves preachers. And I may have given you the definition of a preacher. A preacher is a person who preach. That's what he do. He don't always preach God's word. He preach. He finds something to talk about, and he talk about that. That's a preacher. He considers himself preaching God's word. But we don't have too many people today who actually preach God's word. We have people who are in the church to see how much money they can get from the people. We have people who are driven or motivated by money. That's right. We have people who are driven and motivated by money inside the church. A minister is a person who I have a lot of respect for. A minister ministers to the people. He's out in the community, trying to figure out what do the community need? What can I do to help the people in the community? That's a minister. A minister is a person who's in the community, even knocking on doors or opening his doors to the people. That's a minister. A minister may also preach. He may also do that. And he may also pastor people. That's a minister. But a preacher is a person who preach. That's all he do. He don't do nothing else. He can't even be classified as a minister, because he's a preacher. And that's what we have here in the city of Benton Harbor. We have preachers, not ministers, which is a shame. It's a shame to go around calling yourself just a preacher, because you got a job to do inside this community. You should be everywhere you can. If you can't go, there should be a member of your congregation there, out in here, out in these cold, mean streets. That's right. That's right. Regardless what they say, you need to get out there. And don't do things for money. If you're doing it to get some money, you're doing it for the wrong reason. No man of God should be motivated by money. Let's take, for instance, Benton Harbor High School. The governor is threatening to close Benton Harbor High School. But here's the kicker on that. See, they always think black people do not know. You see, the school district is under a 4-year consent plan. The governor couldn't close the high school in 2020, even if she wanted to, unless the school board signed a new consent form. That is the only way Governor Whitmer could close the school. And you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure that out. But they're counting on the miseducation of the school board. And I told them, matter of fact, I was on the phone Friday with the governor's office. They called me. They wanted to know what Reverend Pinkney thinks. They said, what do you think about this plan? What do you think about that? And I explained to them, The most important thing is our children and our children's future. If you're not motivated to help our children and the future of our children, there's no reason for you and I to be talking. And then the fight begins. And I tell them, this is not a conflict that we're in right now. We're at war. This is the real deal. So they asked me, they said, what do you think should be done? Well, I told them, I said, resources should be pumped into the school system, but not given under the control of the new acting superintendent and school board. That's part of the problem. For years, the school board was using the superintendent, what they was using each other to fatten their own wallets. The vendors that come in here, can you believe that? They was paid almost twice as much as they should have been paid. And then they was given a kickback. Oh, yeah. For 20 years, every time that we had a board president, people like Leroy Harvey, Anthony Jett, Barbara Bale, that Marmia lady, the white lady, these people was bad people when it came to the resident of Benton Harbor. They didn't care long as they got their money. They was happy. Now they want to come back like they have done nothing wrong. I don't play that. You don't get a free pass from me. You do not get a free pass. I don't care who you are or what you are. You do not get a free pass from me. You know, you could be my brother. You could even be my father. You could even be my mother. We have an obligation to prepare our children for the future. And we're failing. We're too busy trying to be more than what we really are. At this stage in your life, you should be building. And that's where we have dropped the ball. My brothers and sisters, let's stand up and fight back. Let's show these people that we're not as dumb as we look, you see, because they think that we're pretty dumb. You know, when I got that call on Friday, I was waiting for the call. They had already told me they were going to call me at 3 o'clock, and they wanted to hear what I had to say. I didn't have a lot of time to talk to them, but I gave them the information they needed. I received a call on Saturday, and they told me that I lit it up. You know, now the governor is willing to listen to what's being told. I told them that I want to be in on all the negotiations, because I know that the Benton Harbor School Board has no knowledge about helping our children. That's a fact. You know, they can sit around here and talk all they want, but they don't have any knowledge on how to help our children. And they never will. But today I have Jamie Davis. He's running for mayor here in the city of Benton Harbor. And here's the good news. I believe that this man would not be a sellout. I believe that in his heart that he's for the children. See, we don't get many people who's going to stand for the children. That's why we as black folks, we're in this position we're in today. We're in a compromising position, but we don't know. We got issues. We actually got issues. Until we admit that we got issues, things are going to continue just like they are. We got issues. Admit it. It ain't just, you know, me, it's you too. We got issues. And until we deal with those issues that we have, things are going to continue just like this. And they know it. They believe is in divide and conquer. That's a weapon that they use against us. And it works. Trust me, it works. We are most of us are motivated by money. Anytime that you could be motivated by money, you're going to lose. You're not going to win. Because then you could be bought and sold. Wow. But we do have Mr. Jamie Davis, who is running for mayor of the city of Benton Harbor, who I believe would be an excellent mayor. I believe that because I'm going to hold him accountable. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. That's my job, period, to hold these people accountable for their action. The present mayor, Marcus Muhammad, hurts my heart. I would never believe in a million years that this man would have turned out the way he did. If you would have told me that Marcus Muhammad was going to be like this, I would say no way. But I was told, though, one of my dear friends, Melinda Parker Brown, told me, he said, Marcus is no good. I'm telling you this. She said, I've been knowing him for years. I knew him when he was Marcus Singer. He's no good. I'm telling you this. And I wouldn't listen. I said, well, let's give him a chance. She said, I'm telling you, he's no good. And sure enough today, I must confess, he's no good. No good. I don't even think he got a good bone in his whole body. Dishonest, motivated by money, he's the mayor of Benton Harbor. But listen, let's talk to a young man who's running for mayor of Benton Harbor, Jamie Davis. Jamie Davis, are you there? Talk to me.
I am here, and I'm thinking, and I'm pleased to be here one more time. I thank you for this opportunity and for all your great listeners. Always a great show and always a great opportunity being on with you. That's still a community, well respected for being a revolutionary. That's the only people I can really respect in these days, anyway. You know, I know that the Bible says that old men are for counsel, young men are for war, and young men have to be able to get some counsel from some elders who have some war in them, otherwise, we won't all be well. So I appreciate the Holy Spirit that you hold. You know, we need that.
Absolutely.
We are in a war. Said earlier,
this is no conflict. This is the real deal. The problem is we're not fighting. See, they're fighting,
right,
but we're not. All we're doing is fighting each other.
Yeah. I was going to say we're fighting, but the fight is internal and we're fighting one another. We're fighting the person. Basically, the first person we're fighting is the person we look at in the mirror, because if we weren't fighting ourselves, we wouldn't be doing these types of things. We think we're fighting the other person, but you're fighting yourself. First, you look in the mirror, that's who you're fighting, because we are a collective. That's what we have to understand. We are a collective, and if we move as a collective for the best of the collective, then everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we're against the whole will. So
let me get this straight. What you're saying is when we look in the mirror, that's who we are fighting.
Basically, yeah. Self-hate is first hate that we have to, you know, perfect before we get out here and permeate the rest of the state, the rest of the neighborhood with that. We start with self.
Yeah. Well, here's something. Since you were running for mayor, and by the way, I have also asked you to be on our water commission, where we're going to start what we want to do. We're going to start making sure there's no lead. And there's no FHAS in the water, no chemicals in this water. We're going to start purifying water at my place. And what I want to do, I want to make sure that a person like you is on board. I'm going to love to have you. That is something that, you know, that I think that should be part of your speech now when you talk about something, because they don't want to talk about the water. You don't hear anything about the water as of lately, Mr. Davis. You have not heard anything about it because they don't want people to know how bad the water is. The water is so bad here that it'll make Flint water drinkable in
right.
comparison. But they don't want to talk about it. You know, you can't get nobody to talk about how bad the water is. Your mayor had made the statement that the water was drinkable, knowing it was not drinkable. The city manager said the water was drinkable, knowing that the water was not drinkable. Matter of fact, it was so bad that they passed out water filters to everybody in the city. Everybody. And we passed out water filters. And we also gave free water to people because we know that it was the right thing to do. But as a person like you, I know that if you were the mayor, I believe from my heart that this city would be 100% better. So you could talk about whatever your heart desires. Tell us, you got the floor. You tell us what you want to know, because people are listening. And I had got several emails in reference to you. And one of the questions they asked was, can you count on him because you counted on Muhammad? And I said, well, I believe Jamie Davis will be different. We never know, you see.
Right. I want to say that, will you finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. One thing with that question, I think that like you said, you really never know. So
yeah.
All of this stuff is based on a person, whether a person really has a conscience. And you know, a lot of times you can tell if an official, like a mayor or commissioner, or a commissioner at large, or Mayor Tim or whatever, or a police officer, whatever, if they have a good conscience and a good reputation, or a good conscience comes from having a good reputation, basically, doing the right thing. You know, you have a good conscience because you know you've done the right thing. If you've done the right things as an elected official, you can walk the street, and you won't have to worry about anything. When you don't see your elected official, when people have to tell me, like one commissioner told me, that someone that they're running for mayor now, but when they went and told this person they're running for mayor, this person is in their ward, the person said, I haven't heard from you in a year. They're like, well, yeah, I know, forget about that part, but I'm running for mayor now. They're like, really? This is the disconnect that we are seeing, that I'm seeing myself. I'm new to running as for mayor, and I've never done this before. But I see that there's a disconnect there, you know. But I can walk these streets. I've been doing this for years, and I have a reputation in the streets, which gives me the conscience I have. I have a good conscience because I haven't done nothing to anyone in this city. I have not wronged anyone. I have not sat in any position have been given such a responsibility and misused that responsibility. That's for one thing. These people have sat in office. And I've heard Mayor Tim say in front of the whole city, you know, right there in front of the council meeting, that this particular council government that we have in the city is dysfunctional. The Mayor Tim said that they're dysfunctional. So, I mean, this is why you don't see them out and about with the people. They don't have the connection with the people. Now, I know, I think Ms. Commissioner Adams probably does, but I don't hear about too many others actually that are able-bodied to get out here among the people. And the children, at our debate that we just had, there were like four children there. And when they done the video after our debate, they said that out of all of the five candidates that they heard, they would vote for the guy with the dreadlock, which is me.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said that, and that video is floating around the city now. And, you know, the Bible says out of the mouth of babe, this is what you hear in church. We've been hearing this for years. People love in church when a child speaks. But sometimes we don't want to hear what a child speaks because the child is really telling us the actual truth, and we don't want to make those changes. And this is what I'm seeing in the street. I see a lot of the same old energies and the same old attitudes. I'm going to do this to you because you're my friend or you're my relative. I'm seeing, like, you got first cousins and all this and that. It's commissioners and city managers and these people are just passing around authority, but they're just puppets is what I've been saying. A whole lot of this stuff. I know it would change when I become mayor because I happen to believe that the mayor and the people that are in charge, their energy flows throughout those that are under them. You see, people usually take on the attitude of their leader. Usually people try to speak like the leader. They can talk, act. They become almost like the leader. That's why they call them leader, and the other people are followers. So with the council being so dysfunctional, it has to be that the head has to be dysfunctional. And then if the head is functioning, then you have the council being dysfunctional, and then the committees who speak to the council being dysfunctional as well. And this is what I'm seeing now. I am a member of the communications committee, and I'm seeing in the streets that some of the people don't even know who the mayor is. They don't even know who in 4.4 miles square, how can that be in any one of these small wards? That the citizens don't know who the mayor is. That tells me that the communication in the city to communicate what the government is doing is lack. How can that be? And you have two people on the communications committee that are commissioners that are running for mayor. I'm looking and I'm learning a lot as I'm definitely a student of government now, you know. And I'm seeing with the charter. That's another thing another reason why people will be able to look at me and say, this guy's different, because I believe that I need to, as since I am on the communications committee, I need to communicate, and I said this to the council, I need to communicate the charter. The people need to understand or understand that we have a charter, a city charter, and a code of ordinance, which will tell you how to properly act as a resident of Benton Harbor, so you won't get in any types of trouble. It exists, but it seems as if the council has not done a good job ever lending information to the communications committee. So we're lacking in some of the committee. And that, again, is from leadership. Evidently, the leadership does not want the citizens and the residents to know how to be proper residents of Benton Harbor. Cut down crime, which makes it seem like, you know, it's like organized crime here. Anyway, when you don't give the citizens what they need to become proper residents in the city, it's easy to pull people over and arrest people and harass people when they don't know their rights. And there are rights that they have in those codes of ordinances and in the city charter that people don't know. So I'll be one mayor that will make sure that the people know what the charter says. You will know the rights of the police officers, what they can and cannot do. It will be written, you know, and make sure it's in a newsletter or something to that effect. Because I'm thinking about creating a newsletter that we can give out every month to the citizens so they'll know what took place in the meeting. And I don't understand why some of the city doesn't have something like this. This doesn't make any sense.
Let me ask you a question. How come that the city council meeting is not televised?
See, right. Now, that's a good question. Now, since I'm on the communications committee, Commissioner Henry, she is the chair of the committee, and she told Deputy Clark to get with me to show me how to run the computers because I am supposed to right now be in that position. I'm sorry for calling. I'm yelling, but I'm supposed to be in that position right now, Reverend Pinky. I'm supposed to be the person sitting behind our laptop actually videoing all of the meetings. I don't know if that was a play to get me off of the attention as running for mayor or what. But anyway, I'm supposed to be in that position right now. But Deputy Clark has not answered my phone call, my initial phone call. I was supposed to give it him about a month ago. He didn't answer the call. He said he was going to be there. He said he was going to answer the phone. He never answered. He did not return my text or phone call. Then I saw him in Myers like 2 weeks later, and I asked him when we were going to get together. He said, well, I'll get in touch with you. Or he never did that either. I don't
Let me say this to you. By you being on that committee, you have the authority to tell him what day that you're going to get together. You see, what you do, what you got the authority now, it takes the ball out of his ballpark, and now he got to play on your court. He don't have, see, that's the way it used to be, always been, because black people allow people you have the authority, because you on this committee. You have the authority
exactly.
to tell him what day that we're going to get together on Wednesday. Well, I'm going to be out in the field on that. I don't have a problem with that, but you're not going to be out in the field all day. So let's find a day on Wednesday for you and I to get together. That's how you have to talk to these people if you don't, because first of all, he passed the first test by seeing how far he can get with you. He can put you off forever, you see. And if you
yeah, she instructed
out,
me that he had put her off for a year on something. Like
right,
that.
That's
like,
what I'm talking about. So,
really?
So you could change that by taking the authority out of his hand and put it in your hands where it belongs. By telling
right.
him.
I'll have to.
Yes.
I'll have to.
You tell him we're going to meet on Wednesday, and I need to meet with you on Wednesday. Well, I'm not going to be available on Wednesday. Well, will you be available Thursday? Let's do this. Whatever time that you lay out, that's the time we're going to do it. And start talking to him just like that, because they will put you off, like you said. They put her off for a whole year. They'll put you off for a year, too, if you don't put your feet down. You're in control.
Well, this Thursday we have a meeting coming up, and we're going to be discussing the method that we're supposed to be using for the Communications Committee. So I'll be presenting my grievances and everything definitely publicly in front of everybody. And this, too, this will be part of that, definitely.
Absolutely. I'm
this
glad,
last
I'm glad
meeting, either nothing has happened.
One thing I will say this, if you got to be married, there will be a lot of changes. We'll
right.
be able to watch the meetings from home and stuff like that. We'll be able to
decide.
And here's something that Dave Frank got, that One Voice Now will let the community vote on things rather than that. I think that is a tremendous idea. Matter of fact, we started that almost 10 years ago, but people don't want it, especially people in power. They see, if they accept that, they've given up all their power to control and get dollars underneath the table. If they accept One Voice Now, what they're saying simply is now the power is back in the people, man. And that's where the power should be in the first place.
I spoke
Absolutely.
With him about 3 days ago. He told me just go ahead and start my
talk. Keep talking to him. Because, like I said, we started this thing over 10 years ago.
Okay.
But it is not. It can't get off the ground because most politicians don't want it. Because it puts power back in the people's hands. See, they want
exactly.
the power. Like your mayor now, he wants all the power. All the things he have done underneath the table to the people in Benton Harbor, he should be lynched, you see. But the point is, we don't have that authority. Listen, you got a couple of minutes. I got to bring in my good friend Lee. But I got to tell us what you want us to know, and also how people can help you. Tell us that.
Well, you mentioned water, and I did something with you in Freshwater Future in your building before. I did a couple of videos, and they put it out there. And I had been told by one of the people, I think her name was Izzy, she said that she contacted the mayor and the city manager, and neither one of them ever got back with her on the, you know, what she was telling them about the water. She told them about there was lead in the water, how it was extreme levels, and they didn't even want to respond. They didn't respond at all. You know, this is the type of leadership that we have in this city right now, and we have to change all of that. So one of my main things, and that's the first point in my platform, my four-point platform, is water. All we need to do is go there and make sure we have to have the people who have the credentials and the that have passed the requirements to go in there and change the filter. That filter hasn't been changed for years. If you go in there and change that filter at the water plant itself, then the water won't be coming to us bad in the first place, because that's what we have to actually change the filter. See, they gave us filters on the back end. That's
right.
To catch whatever comes through the system, but it's not supposed to come through the system at all. So we first have to go there and tackle it there at the water plant. Let's fix the water there. Then we won't have to worry about that. And that right there will start the healing process of the mind and everything like that, because this water has an effect on the mind. So it's already affecting the elders, youth, everybody that has absorbed the water through bathing and through drinking. There's a health issue there that has not been dealt with. So by not dealing with that, this has created possible lawsuits by you not telling people about the water. As a matter of fact, the Flint, they're suing right now, is what I hear. But then I hear they also took and threw the cases out. So we have to go and revisit it. It's something we have to fight, because, again, you said we truly are in a war. And if people do want to support me, they can go to my website and they can order one of my e-books. I am an author. If you want to order my e-book, I wrote a book called The Definition of a Broke ASS, the Homosexual, Lesbian, Transgender, and Bestiality Assault on the Black Race. People can order that particular book in ebook form. You see, that's the book I'll say this. I went to jail for 7 hours in Canada, internationally, because of this particular book, because I speak truth to power. These are some of the things that I'll be able to try to implement if you go through and look at the book. But anyway, you can order the book from my website. That's www.yahisraelhour. That's YAHISREALHOUR. I also have a donation tab on that particular website. You can also donate there. I have been in television for 19 years in communications. I had a television show in Chicago, Illinois that was very powerful. That draw ABC News. They came and interviewed me. So all of those things are available, those videos from a long time ago, me challenging the powers that be before I got to this power position here right now. And
all
I'm
right.
A musician. You get my music as well. You buy music from me. All that stuff. Just go to my website.
All right. Very good. All
Thank
right.
You.
Let's see. This is Jamie Davis, who's running for mayor of the city of Benton Harbor. Jamie, thank you so much for being on. Let's talk later on so we can exchange a few more ideas. On that note,
all right,
I got to let you go, Jamie. Take care of yourself. All right.
All right now.
All right. That was Jamie Davis. He's running for mayor of Benton Harbor, Michigan, and he got a good chance. He got to get out there and work, though. Now, let me bring in my good friend, Lee. My brother, are
hey.
You there? Talk to me, Lee.
Hey, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, and I was actually really been thinking about you this whole weekend. You've been definitely on my mind, and the reason why is that I know this system backwards and forward, and it hurts me to even think about how they do us and get away with it. And
yes.
And I know right now you're in the beast belly right now, you know, and I don't have no respect, no love for this justice system. I know what they'll do to people, and if they get it, they will try to destroy you, your family, your cousin, your friends, anything they can put their hands on. But listen, this is your story. I want you to tell your story. Tell us what you want us to know.
Well, one thing is for certain, that they have been doing was aiming to destroy my family. I have a brother right now. My brother is in Pennsylvania. He's in the federal prison system. They also put the authorities on my younger brother, okay? I'm the one that chooses to fight to the end. My brother's like, man, if they offer you probation, would you take it? I say, listen, man, I can't – if I – fall into their trap, then they won against me. I said, if I have to sacrifice myself in the process to bring out the truth of this is just what I'm going to have to do. Here it is. You got these officers, Rolette and Snyder, okay? Now, here it is. These guys clearly and blatantly, this is my discovery, right in black and white, you guys committed perjury within the federal court. My thing is, when I go to trial, are you going to say these same things that you said in this discovery? And is the charges of perjury going to be brought up against you guys? You know, how can you be held credible and say somebody else is credible, but you taking the word of murderers, drug traffickers, and everything, and say, oh, yeah, I say this person is a reliable and a trusted source. Well, hell, you ain't even reliable. Because your report is in black and white, and it was a clear sign. It's right during my discovery, you committed perjury. So if you take it, how what makes your word so good that you can vouch on somebody else when you committed perjury? You're telling me I'm somewhere that I'm not even at.
Yeah.
When I got witnesses that saying you wasn't even here, my brother's federal GPS tether states he wasn't there. So who was I there seeing? If this person is not even around, now they come in where they want to go ahead and throw some things out and say, well, we're going to offer him a deal if he'll go ahead and plead guilty. You know, we're not going to charge him with this or we're not going to charge him with that. My attorney was like, okay, what do you think? I was like, man, I'm still taking him to trial. You couldn't charge me with it in the first place. How you all of a sudden now you're saying you don't want to charge me with it? You couldn't charge me with it in the first place. You guys just wanted to see if I gonna crack or not. I'm not the person to crack.
Wow. And you know, 99% of us, we crack. When they start mentioning in jail time and all this other kind of stuff, we start cracking up. Our face start cracking. Our heart start cracking. Our legs start cracking. We crack. But I'm so proud to hear that.
You know, the thing is, they realized that they couldn't charge me with it. They knew they couldn't. They was like, well, you know, you're facing up to a mandatory minimum of 10 years. Okay, I still want to go to trial. I don't give a damn if I was facing, excuse my language, but I don't care if I was facing a mandatory 20 years. I want to go to trial because I know it was a complete lie. It was a setup. You got a person that's running around here come out, oh, I made a control buy from this person. How the heck did you make a control buy? Now, explain that one to me. That's completely nonsense there. Because now that you admitted that you had possession of some drugs, and you know for sure you didn't get it from me, now, since you admitted this, that means technically you got a case. Because who did you get the drugs from? You didn't get it from me. But, of course, you know the way the system works, they're not going to go ahead and do that. Well, we were trying to get a bust on him. We wanted to get a bust. Well, this person technically, and this is all started, let me tell you where they went wrong with this. It was the Michigan State Police that came. Then they turned it over to the feds. Now that the federal government got it, they looking at the case like, man, this is a bunch of bull. You guys, everybody in here, y'all talking about he the criminal, but it's, you guys are the criminals in this too.
Yeah.
Y'all done came before the federal grand jury and came up with this elaborate lie. Then they say, y'all should lock him up because we fear for our safety. We fear that he's going to start killing witnesses and this and that. First of all, what y'all afraid of is because you know that the truth is going to come out, and now y'all got a case. Because y'all tried to sit there and play the federal government like they were some fools. I can show it. Once I got a hold of my discovery, I'm going to be honest with you. When I got a hold of my discovery and I got to reading it and reading it and reading it, and I'm like, hold up. This is a bunch of nonsense. Here it is, you dealing with a situation with a scorned female. She thought she was getting over, figuring, I'm going to go mess with one of his friends. Now this guy done drug you in to say, hey, let's work with the police and set him up. Now you done went on ahead, came up with this elaborate lie. Oh, I just successfully purchased crack from him. Well, how the heck is that possible and we laying up together. Even after you went to the federal grand jury, I don't think you told them, well, I'm still laying up with the same person who I purchased these drugs, supposedly had purchased these drugs from. Now, you want me to tell you the kicker to all of this?
Tell.
One day, she looked at me real weird. I'm like, what was that look for? Honestly, I'm thinking it was a setup. So something said, man, hit the recorder on your phone. That way, if it is, somebody come kicking through this door, it's a setup, your sister know how to get to your Google Drive. But come to find out, no, that wasn't the case. The case was when I explained to her, like, you know, that whole situation, I'm just letting you know, I did record it because I thought it was going to be a setup. She offered to pay me money, like, oh, no, take that recording off your phone. My first attorney say, nah. She offered to pay you for it, you make multiple copies, which is what I did. I say, nah, something telling me to hold this until we get to court. This ain't this. Why would you ain't never came off to me like that?
Mm-hmm.
So what did you go say if you did, when? What was said to the point where the madness is going on? Because all of this didn't come out of just nowhere.
Go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? It didn't just come. Huh?
I said, go ahead.
Yeah, the whole situation didn't come just out of the clear blue sky. So now that I'm going to trial with it.
Tomorrow?
Like I said, everybody's getting nervous now. Officers is getting nervous because now federal government is curious about them. What's really going on here? This sounded like an actual setup.
Mm-hmm.
And they know it is. They knew it was a complete setup. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. But the thing is, well, let him plead guilty. Give him the sweetest deal as possible. Man, I'm not even taking a suspended sentence. If these people saying that I did this, you got to bring them forward.
Yeah.
Because I'm not giving up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give up. Y'all done destroyed too much in my life. So now let's bring the truth out now. Now that the truth comes out, let's see if y'all can maintain y'all stories.
Well, you know, here's what I want you to do, too. Make sure you subpoena her.
Oh,
that's crucial.
That's most.
Right.
Yes.
Make sure you subpoena her, because she may not even be on their witness list.
That is true. They might even try to go find somebody else.
Right. They could, you know, they could bring people in, but make sure. Here's the two things you got to get on. You got to get that GPS, and also you got to subpoena this young lady. But look, you got about 2 minutes. I want you to tell everybody what you want them to know and how they can help you. To me, that's important.
Well, again, I'm gonna need as much coverage on this because this thing is getting out of hand. You know, as long as this keeps going on. You got people here in Detroit where the police is going to continue to allow them, because there's no such thing as an unsolved murder in Detroit. Don't believe that. Anybody out here listening, don't believe it. They know what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
But they choose to sweep certain things under the rug and
Absolutely. Set
other people up in the process.
Mm-hmm. Right. We talked about that last week, how what they call it, the ninth floor. Right. The ninth floor. You know, the ninth floor, what they do, if they got to unsolve a murder or they want to give you a murder, they can give you a murder, and you got a 99% chance of being convicted, whether you did it or not.
Exactly.
You see? And that's what we don't know. But here's the problem with that. See, if they thought for a minute that the black community was together, none of this stuff could be happening. None of this stuff.
That is so very true.
You know.
You just like, as you, I listen. Go ahead.
Yeah, and until we learn that, it's going to continue just this way. None of this stuff could happen if we was better organized and together.
And we get those ones that's too worried about greed out the way.
Yeah, and you know, and greed is a weapon they use against us. And anytime you find people that are materialistic, I wouldn't be around them because they'll do anything for money. And anytime you find people do anything for money, they'll sell you out. They'll sell their mama out. They'll sell their daddy out. They'll sell everybody out. But look, I got to let you go. But look, we need to talk more and make sure that we have that witness list together and have people coming in. And Lee, I tell you, I'm committed to doing what I can to help you. And, August 6th is coming up, so we got to be ready. You know, this is.
Oh, yeah, I've been getting all my evidence together and everything.
Yeah,
you know?
And make sure that
I even got recorded conversations, so when they do try to come and say, oh, no, I didn't say this. Or, no, it's recorded, man.
Very good.
Don't try to
fit me. Right on. All right, Lee. I got to let you go. I got to bring in my good friend, Belinda Brown from Louisiana. Belinda Parker Brown. If you ask me again, I knock you down. My brother, Lee, let's talk. On that note, listen, those of you who are out there who want to help my brother, Lee, you can contact me, and we'll find a way because we want to make sure that brother do not go to prison. It's another 10-year junction, you know, in the federal court. You know, they got a 99% chance of convicting you. So on that note, I got to bring in my good friend from Louisiana, Belinda Parker Brown. If you ask me again, I knock you down. My girl, what's up, girl?
Pastor Pitney!
That's right. Talk to me. They don't hear you, though.
Pastor Pitney, I'm just sitting here enjoying the show, especially that last gentleman that you just had on. I would love for him to come on and tell his story so that the people here in Louisiana, because this stuff happens all the time. And, you know, my thing is once we connect the dots and what you just said, Pastor Pitney, we come together on these people and gang up on them because it's more of us than it is of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lose.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're going to lose. I need to tell this real quick, Pastor Pickman. You know, we just had a major, major mayor election here.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and we had 3 people running for mayor, so that put us in a guaranteed runoff. Okay, so when we got in the runoff, the 2 candidates that you know, we met and we decided as a community on who we were going to put in that seat. You know, the black vote is very powerful. All we have to do is come together and we can put anybody in office that we want because, you know, we don't vote, right? So what we did, Pastor Pinkney, was that we decided the best, you know, the best of 2 evils, okay, that we're going to support this man, but we gave him a memorandum of understanding. Basically, we gave him a list of things that, you know, he would agree to, you know, when he win the election. And one of those things was that we wanted the support of black businesses. We wanted to be able to acquire grants from the city to help struggling black businesses that were in the city. We also wanted some tax breaks for the black businesses to expand the hub zone so that these people can get their business up and running successfully. So listen, Pastor Pickney, now here is the catcher. Do you know that the black community could have gotten all of these things had we stuck together? The other mayor put money on the table, and he split the black community. We had half of the black community supporting this one and half of the black community supporting the other one. okay? And guess what happened?
The other one won.
Pastor Pinckney, we lost. We lost. The black community lost because we haven't gotten none of those things. Now, what you got to see is that as long as they can split us up, they win. And that's what they did. They divided us, and they won. Because now, they ain't got to do nothing we said.
No. Uh-uh.
You know, and see, this is the factor, Pastor Pinckney. This is the factor, and you just said it. Some people would do anything for money. They would split, they would cut their own throat for money. They would sell their own mama out for money.
That's right. And you don't have to give them a lot. Just a few peanuts.
Right, we call it for $5 and a bologna sandwich down here in Louisiana. They will sell you out. Now this how ignorant. Anytime we didn't take the time out to construct a memorandum of understanding, a MOU, that where they had to listen to us, because if they didn't do what they promised. And if we voted them in, we can vote them out, because the power is with us, the voters, the people, right? The black vote. And if we had to file a recall petition against them, whatever we had to do, we had grounds to hold them to whatever it is that they agreed to do. Now, they ain't got to listen to nothing we say.
No.
Because they're looking at the numbers now. They're looking at the numbers. They're looking at how many people came out and voted for him and how many people came out and voted for the other person, and that takes away all of our power.
There you go.
Because they split us up. And see, this is the reason why Harry Truman had to carry a gun for these Negroes.
Yeah.
Because I want to grace your show every opportunity I get, because I want the whole world to know, you are my mentor, okay? I would not have the passion and, all the fortitude and strength and grace and faith to do this great work that we've been doing here in Louisiana, Pastor Pinckney, but we are calling these people out. We are calling them out. And we're shining the light on them, okay? We're exposing everything that's in the dark, okay? It's coming to the light, all right? And one thing for sure, without a doubt, Pastor Pinckney, we are saying lock them up, put them in jail. All of our corrupt politicians that think they can do whatever they want to do once they get in office, okay, or however long they've been in office, we're saying that we're going to expose you, and we want you indicted, convicted, and sentenced to prison. We're going to ruin your career.
There you go. There you go.
Okay, we're going to ruin your career. And that is the bottom line, Pastor Pinckney. But we're saying here in Louisiana that, we're demanding the release of thousands of people that have been languishing and been held captive and kidnapped in the prisons and jails across the state of Louisiana. And we're saying that we know why Louisiana was known as having more people incarcerated than anywhere else in the world. We know why. We done done our research. We done verified our facts. And we didn't we didn't change the law. Did you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
We didn't expose the unconstitutional laws, and we didn't change it. And now we're saying that every person that was convicted under these racist Jim Crow laws, okay, deserve to be let go free.
Amen.
They deserve to have the opportunity to have a fair trial. And we're saying that we're going to fight until they get it right, because we know for a fact that this law was schemed up. It was a racist Jim Crow law that was schemed up to, first of all, compromise the jury selection, to make sure that they didn't get any blacks on the jury. Second of all, so that they could snatch black people off the street and put them in prison and make slaves out of them. So we're saying that unanimous is not enough, Pastor Pinckney. And you done been down here. You done stood with us. You know, you've been on one of our leading radio shows, WBOK out of New Orleans, Good Morning Show with Oliver Thomas. And we done spoke to the massive. And these people are excited that we're fighting to get the release of thousands of people that are being held captive in these godforsaken hellhole prisons and jails across the state of Louisiana. And we want the whole world to know and come down here and stand with us October the 5th. We're banking on that date, Pastor Pinckney, because we want to have a mass demonstration on the Capitol steps in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and we want to say unanimous is not enough, and we want these people to be let go free, or else given the opportunity to have a fair trial, because the United States Supreme Court says it should have been retroactive or grandfathered in for these people that was convicted up under these racist Jim Crow unconstitutional statutes. So on that note, Pastor Pinckney, I want anybody that want to get in contact with me, they can call me at 985-503-0626, or they can go to our website. All my contact information is on the website, and it's significant because it's Louisiana United International. And if we can unite on this, we it's no doubt, Pastor Pinckney, it's unrefutable. We are going to win. People,
Absolutely. Listen.
Now, if you're a winner, like I know that Pastor Pinckney is a natural born winner, and we set ourselves up to win, ain't that right, Pastor Pinckney?
That's the truth. I don't know how to lose.
So I want them to go to my website at www.launitedinternational.org. All right, Pastor Pinckney, this has been a great show, and I really want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak.
Absolutely. And I was talking earlier, I was telling the audience how when Marcus first came on the scene, and the minister had told him that he wanted him to, it was at my home, and the minister told him that he wanted him to run for mayor. And when I told you, you told me, you said, Marcus is not any good.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you
telling
me that. I remember you telling me, you said, well, Pastor Pinckney, look, I can't go against you, but I'm telling you this, he's no good. And sure enough, what you said is a true statement. That man he's horrible. He
was, and Pastor Pinckney, I don't say stuff about people unless I have my facts. You know, at that time, Marcus was one of my coworkers working at the high school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus was going around, he was being so flirtatious. I'm saying flirtatious, if that's a word, okay? Flirting with everybody around up in there, and his ego was a Pastor Pinckney. It was beyond past the moon, okay? All right, his ego. This young man was so arrogant about who he thought he was. It was just, it was pathetic. Okay? And don't nobody want it. Now, I'm going to tell you, Pastor Pickney, and I know the type of man that you are. Okay? You're going to call him out. You're going to call him out. Okay?
Yeah.
All you wanted to do was give Marcus a chance.
Yeah.
But because of his own selfishness, you know, selfishness is of the devil.
That's right.
And that's one of the biggest problems that we can have as black people, is that we can be so all wrapped up in ourselves, okay, until we will sabotage our own self and cut our own throat, shoot our own self in the foot. Because
right.
We thinking we somebody and we ain't nothing.
Amen.
But a
Amen.
Child of the King. So what I'm saying, Pastor Pickney, I sit across the table from Marcus. You know, I looked him in his eye, and I knew he was a slick Willie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And
yeah.
All he had was his own agenda.
That's it. Wow.
And it came out to be poof. So we hit the bullseye on that. But you know, I'm hoping that you all get a new mayor in Benton Harbor, and that, you know, Marcus can go head on and, you know, fulfill his own selfish agenda, because that's what he's all about, Pastor Pickney. Even the honorable Minister Faircon warned him.
Yeah.
Warned him, set him up there at your table. And then challenged him to do the right thing.
Right.
He said, Marcus, are you going to be for the people? He said, because I want to know right here and right now, are you going to be for the people?
Wow. He sure did. His exact words. And then he sat up there and lied and said, yes, I am. I'm going to be all for the people with his lying butt. But listen, Belinda, I can't let you go. We ran out of time.
All right, Pastor Pickney. Thank you so much.
And thank you for being on the show. And let's talk some more, because I know we got a lot to talk about. We got August the 9th and 10th coming up. We got a lot of stuff going on. So let's stay focused and do what we need to do. And on that note, Belinda, I want you to tell your family I love them. And I'm going to talk to everybody same time, same station, next Sunday.